Welcome to the Meat and Poultry Podcast. This podcast is your online portal to hear from experts in the industry about the latest news, trends, technologies, and people in the world of meat and poultry processing.
For the Meat Poultry Podcast, I'm Ryan McCarthy, Digital Media Editor. Mike Drury remains focused and prepared to guide Greater Omaha Packing into its next chapter of meat processing. The president of Greater Omaha Packing Company recently discussed with the Meat and Poultry Podcast how the company would use a $20 million USDA grant through the Meat and Poultry Expansion Program. Mike stated how important the company's location in Omaha, Nebraska is for the success of its business as it fulfills orders for customers in the U.S. and around the world. He also shared how Greater Omaha Packing has adapted and helped its clients with any situation in the meat marketplace. Near the end of the podcast, Mike wanted to highlight how Greater Omaha works with all of its workforce to create a quality product. We hope you enjoy this in-depth conversation with Mike Drury about the workings of Greater Omaha Packing.
Can you kind of take us through a little bit about your career and how you got started now at this new job with president of Greater Omaha Packing?
Sure. You know, just as a background, you know, I grew up on a cow-calf operation in Northwest Illinois, so very familiar with the ag side of it. I was able to do that with my father and grandfather. Went to school out west and then ultimately settled on the West Coast, working for a specialty meat companies that was acquired by Sysco. And in that role, I started as a sales manager and had a chance to really work very closely with some very high-end chefs, restaurateurs, stadium specialty retailers, et cetera. And we supplied all the categories of protein for those restaurants. And our success to meet their needs was based on a pretty simple principle, which was we had to find the best, most consistent product for that chef and kitchen manager to work with, to give them the best ingredients to start their work. And on the beef side, Newport Meat Company, the company that I worked for, already had a longstanding relationship with Greater Omaha. That relationship was founded on high quality, consistent product. We were a week in and week out consistent buyer. Over the years, we developed unique customer specs for products that Greater Omaha was able to meet. And sure, that product costs a little bit more, but our customers expected more. Best product, most consistent is what we looked for. Never having to apologize for the quality allowed us to be a valued partner, not just a supplier of commodity protein. And as I mentioned, Greater Omaha was that supplier of mine for many years, almost 20 years. And we developed customers all across the West Coast. Those customers went overseas and opened up international restaurants. We were able to supply them the same product. So, you know, over the years, as that business grew with Newport and Greater Omaha, Sysco continued to acquire meat companies. And build others out. And just prior to leaving them, I was in charge of managing the 9 regional meat companies in Western United States and Canada for Sysco. And so when the opportunity came to join Greater Omaha, you know, I knew from a company standpoint that they held many of the same values I did towards customer service, product quality, integrity, and desire to produce a better product. So that's how the journey began, and that's how I ended up here.
Mike, what are some of the changes that you try to implement at Greater Omaha Packing when you've known so much about the product? It sounds like you've been around them quite a bit. How do you go about doing that when you do know quite a bit about it already?
Sure. You know, it's a good question. And I'm going to have to say I had the benefit and luxury of really joining a great company, a company that had already been around for 100 years. They had just celebrated their 100-year anniversary. Having said that, I joined the company in the midst of a pandemic. And you know, supply chain disruptions, labor challenges, logistics, each of these were really big challenges, not only for our industry, but the whole nation. And, you know, when I came, we were really fortunate enough to quickly add several key leaders in core areas to help the operations team focus on the operation. So when we talk about some of the changes and things that we had a chance to do, we were really out in front in offering expanded benefits for our employees and quickly became an employer of choice in the region for our industry. So it allowed us to meet the up and down kind of demands that our customers were still experiencing. You know, one day we'd get an order from a customer and say, my region just got shut down, or, hey, my region just opened up, could we respond? And it really allowed us to solidify those relationships with our customers because we were able to say yes quickly and to adjust, not only with our customers, but also our suppliers. Our cattle feeders were very dependent, right, on a place to have. When cattle got marketed, we got up and running faster than most. So, you know, what we learned, the important things we knew, as most do, the importance of a solid workforce, dependable base that you could count on to get the work done. But what we really learned was that extra value of customer service for our customers during these past couple of years. Getting product to a customer when we said we would, being flexible on changes into the late parts of the week, the restrictions, responding to those. It showed us that obviously the product is very important, but being able to be counted on and execution was critical. And, you know, so the things that we changed and focused on over the last couple of years that would just continue to allow us to say yes and execute for our customer.
And I know a lot of those things that you've done led to the announcement last November when you guys were awarded $20 million with the meat and poultry processing expansion program. Can you kind of take us through that process of working with the USDA and coming up with that funding, realizing that that was the right fit for where you guys wanted to go?
Yeah, you know, we were really excited about that opportunity. You know, and this opportunity, it came quickly, but it was as much about timing and kind of parallel paths, kind of meeting at the same time. You know, through all the disruptions that I mentioned over the last 24 months and bringing some new staff on, 100-year anniversary, it really kind of gave us a chance to reflect on what we were good at and what were the things we were hearing from our customers that we needed to be able to address in the future. So we had already been putting together a roadmap of investments and capabilities that if we didn't have, we wanted to get to, or if we had, we wanted to strengthen those. So we had a pretty good sense of what we needed. And so that list, as you can imagine, is pretty long. So we had to do some prioritizations for those things. And at the same time, this opportunity came along for applying for the grant. So, you know, those things helped us accelerate and will help us accelerate and implement those plans to meet those needs. And, you know, we'll never be the biggest in our industry. It's never been a goal for Greater Omaha, but we do play a pretty vital role in our region as a processor of high quality beef for a very demanding set of customers. And because of that, we're able to react quickly. And with the aid of the grant, we're going to be able to achieve some of those things as we had outlined already previously in our strategic plans.
Yeah. And for our audience, any of the priorities that you'd be willing to share of what's going to be kind of crucial to moving forward with this now?
Yeah. So, you know, these will be some of the things that as a result of the grant and our kind of prioritization, there's three or four capabilities and things that we need to do in our facility to continue to be ready for customers and meeting these changes. And really one of the first things that we're embarking on, and we're halfway through it, is the further automation of our product handling on all of our frozen items. We went through a big exercise, a big project in 2018, where we did a significant box automation, if you will, for all of our fresh beef. We're going to be making that same investment on our frozen side. And it's really going to be able to handle a lot of those products that end up traveling halfway around the world to the international markets. You know, and a lot of that product gets handled in and out of the freezer by employees. And as you can imagine, from an employee standpoint, moving product in and out of a 10 below freezer is not, you know, that's challenging work.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to automate that with technology, be able to have that product frozen quicker and get it to customers 2 to 3 days faster. So That's the first thing that's happening as we speak. And as in any building and facility, we tend to be limited with space. So in order to do X, you got to move Y. And so we're moving Y, which is the freezer project that frees up more space for us to really get at the heart of some of the things our customers have been asking for. And that's really to do further fabrication of product. And this is further trimming of product closer to a finished state for both retail and food service. It's really more efficient and safer from a product standpoint. If we can do this extra work right in line, you know, if we can take that right off the production line from us, if you think about it, it comes off the line from us and goes right to that final spec that our customers have been asking for. We've really eliminated a number of things. We've eliminated extra film and cardboard, logistics, and cost of transportation. And that's good for the customer and it's good for the environment. During this pandemic, we continue to hear the recurring theme, labor challenges, labor expertise. And so we believe that we can address that, that what our downstream customers have really struggled with. And we're in a good position to help with that. So you'll see another big chunk of our investments around that further fabrication, enhanced packaging that will allow them to perform with the products then. There's a couple of other pieces that will fill out. There's always some infrastructure things. So part of our plans and the grant will help assist that is also making some enhancements and increasing our capacity for wastewater management. We want to make sure we're good stewards in town as we manage our water needs for today and also in the future. And then really lastly, we have to build those capabilities up, and then we're going to be ready to expand with more cattle. You know, and with our existing customers, we're still shorting orders for high quality prime beef and branded programs. So we plan to be able to address that for our customers and also ensuring those cattle producers I mentioned that really count on us to have a place to market their cattle every week, that we'll have some more capacity for them.
Yeah, I wanted to jump down to that a little bit. Can you kind of discuss the cattle suppliers around you there in Nebraska and how crucial it is to have someone, you know, within about a 200-mile radius? I know you guys are looking at about that length a lot of times.
Yeah, you know, we're really, you know, Greater Omaha, we are really blessed on our geographic location. We have land, we have great resources. And when I talk about resources, we have water, we have corn, we have the right kind of weather to produce great high quality cattle. So that's 200-mile radius, which covers much of our producers that come in week in, week out, it's critical. They count on us and we count on them. Our average producer, you know, could easily supply us 1 to 2 loads, less than 100 cattle a year. We have some that are more and some that are less, but in general, less than a couple hundred from over 1,000 producers are counting on us day in and day out to be ready and flexible. And we've enjoyed that position with those folks, and we continue to want to support that. And we know there's that's a market we address. They provide the quality of cattle that we really like to see and our customers have asked us for.
You know, Mike, with everything that's changed during COVID, how do you work through a lot of these adjustments when they happen on a daily basis when you're overseeing a place like this? What kind of goes through your process on a day-to-day basis when you're trying to go through all these things?
Yeah. Well, what's nice is that, you know, we've got a really solid team here and we've got the daily metrics, just like any company does, that, you know, what are you watching? How are you actually performing on the day and the week? And I think the thing that is really beneficial for us is everything's within walking distance. If we see a demand on the sales side for a certain item versus a different item, we can make that adjustment on the fabrication floor within minutes. We have a sales team that sits down the hall from me who sits right outside the production floor. And we've got a transportation department and trucking company across the street, renderings a mile down the road. So there's not a lot that we can't handle or adjust throughout the day to keep our pulse on the business. And likewise, if we all of a sudden need to bring in another load or two of cattle to meet some demand for our customers, run an extra Saturday, we're very flexible and to be able to adjust to that with our workforce.
And for people that don't know, what are all the items that you guys are able to do with beef and get out to people?
Yeah, good question. We think about our product set in a couple of different ways. And I'll kind of walk through the primary one, as you would expect. What's the business that we're in? We're in taking live animals and turning this into high quality beef so that our customers and retailers can then turn that into finished product. And that's what we would call our box beef business, where they fabricate and cut. But we also have what we would call our value added extensions. We're now producing ground beef here in November of this past year. We just doubled our capacity on ground beef. And we only did it for one reason, is because our customers are saying, can you make more? They like our ability to do that with our product in-house. Our food safety and shelf life is longer than most in the industry. Proud of that. And then for those customers that struggle and can't take it to a finished steak, we also have a department today that continues to grow around the steak cutting. So that's the product set that we make. The other area that we focus is on our brands. We have a brand around 100-year legacy, but within that, we have brands that we've built so that our customers can do further segmentation and feel the uniqueness of our product set. We have a Hereford program that we've been very successful. It represents a full day's worth of production. We recently launched our own Angus program. That's a similar of that, and that we're getting great reception there. We supply the most cattle to the European Union of anybody in the U.S. So that's a segment. Each one of those segments address a different end user or quality statement that those customers want to make.
I wanted to go a little back to the rancher relationships. Mike, you mentioned you grew up with a lot of that and doing some of that. How do you go about building, maintaining a lot of those relationships? I'm sure it's helpful that you're right there as well, being in Nebraska, being in Omaha. Kind of take me through how that, being in that location, helps quite a bit too.
Sure. You know, at first I'll have to say we've just got a great group of cattle buyers that are managing all these one-on-one relationships. And if I were to kind of put it into perspective, there are many plants that are twice our size. We process about 2,400 head of cattle a day. Many of these facilities do up to 5,000. And when you look at those facilities, because of the size and scale, they have to get really a different model. They have to make sure all those cattle are there each and every day. And to do that, they have 8 to 10 very significantly large feedlots that they count on to do that. So those are important relationships there. Our model is very different. We buy from over 1,000 different producers every year. And so that one-on-one relationship with that load of cattle or two loads of cattle, absolutely critical. And we're able to work and be more accustomed to those operators, whether that's a small feedlot of under 1,000 or whether that's literally a cow-calf operator that has 50 mother cows and has one load of cattle, calves that they're going to sell in the fall, we want to be there for that individual. And so our dynamics and our day-to-day activity scheduling is much more fluid, complex, but at the same time, we're addressing that market for those folks.
But having that fluidity has got to help quite a bit, Mike, with people where, like you discussed earlier with the day-to-day stuff, you can change quite a bit. Does that always make you attractive when people are interested, where it's like, hey, we'll make an adjustment right on a dime if we need to?
It is. And that piece has been really exciting. In fact, we've added a new role in our organization, someone that's managing our supplier development folks. And we're having more dialogue with those ranchers as a result. And this role and this individual is really supporting the great work our cattle buyers are already doing with our producers. But as we talk further, there's still a need or a desire for more communication. And I think, you know, if there's one thing that I've recognized and I've been fortunate in my career is growing up on a cow-calf operation, working at a very large food service distribution company for 20 years, touching high-end customers, and now I'm in the middle on the processing side, the transparency and the understanding you know, those are segments and they're not intentional walls. We're just all busy. And what I've noticed is over these last couple of years, and I would say if good things come out of bad environments of the pandemic, one of them is this need for transparency. And I would say this opportunity for more communication. So one of the primary focuses of our supplier development manager is to open those dialogues. And so we've had many roundtables and conversations and discussions, and it's very refreshing when we can connect the entire chain together. And we really, it's easier then to prioritize what we need to be focusing on.
Does that help you stay organized too, Mike, where you kind of had touch points throughout the industry, throughout your career? Does that kind of help you, you know, understand all their needs when they're reaching out to you a lot of times?
It does. And again, we're very fortunate. We're a single plant in all of, you know, we're that combination of headquarters and operations staff all tucked together within about 200 square feet. So there's not a lot that gets lost in the translation because we're all very close together. We're hearing the same things. And then we have the ability to communicate and try to make heads or tails out of something when it's not making sense. All of a sudden, we have all those people right close by to be able to make our best decisions.
And I know one of the things you've been able to do too is have these events recently where you brought in cattle suppliers mm-hmm. to your Omaha headquarters. How has that gone? How has it helped to help other people understand what you're doing?
The timing of that over this last year and a half has been really fortunate. And again, credit to many people within our team to say, yes, let's go do it. When I said, let's think about bringing our producers in a little bit more organized fashion. And what it does is it allows us to share kind of our operations. We're actually telling them what's on our mind. We're going to do the daily and weekly transaction of buying and selling cattle, but let's put that aside for a minute and let's talk a little bit further down the road. When we open that dialogue, it allows us to share our concerns or our opportunities. And likewise, we get to hear what they're struggling with or things they'd like to see from us. And it's just a tremendous dialogue. When we've communicated these events and that our customers are visiting with us, we've actually been able to take our end users, customers, and incorporate those in. Most recently, we had an event where we had some of our customers in from Europe and Asia and the East Coast sitting with their distributors, our customers, and then our suppliers. And we're talking about the state of the union, if you will, and just where this industry is going. I mean, just fantastic. And they see a tour of our facilities. And then probably where the best part happens is when we're having a steak and a drink afterwards, just having general conversations. And it's really nice to see those things happen.
Yeah. And it was interesting, Mike, when I was able to go to meat conference this year and kind of see where things are going with the industry. It's quite an interesting point of people trying a lot of new things, but also being established with what they've got and qualities. How do you see it, and how do you kind of balance that when you're in a position like this, 2,400 cattle per day? You guys can kind of, you know, try things, but also stick to what you know too.
Yeah, and I think you probably hit on it, Ryan. You see so many new things that are happening out there, and do I care? Should I care? We do have to step back at Greater Omaha because we all have passion for what we do in the industry, but we got to make sure we recognize what we're really good at, take that information we're hearing from our customers, and stay focused on where we think our space is, but be very open and communicative with those suppliers and customers. And that's a key part. I think probably one of the things when you hear about all these things, sustainability, green, you know, what does that really mean, and who's doing it well? You know, you asked me a question, I think, earlier about just some of our cattle producers and where the beef comes from and what we think about it. We have such a great story on the logistics here of Nebraska raised cattle. And I think we, as Greater Omaha, that's what we do. We take it for granted, but every time we have a chance to sit down and share that with our customers, we recognize how unique that is. And so I think what you'll see from us over the coming, you know, months and years is that we're going to really start to be more specific, telling that story and sharing what that looks like. If you think about the state of Nebraska, and we're right on the Iowa-Nebraska border, so the two states combined, There's not a better region for growing cattle. There's not a better region for raising feed for cattle. And probably the one piece that most people don't realize is the part up front, which is there's never a better area actually raising cow-calf, and that's in the sand hills of Nebraska. You know, that is land that's not utilized for anything else but for grazing. And, you know, that takes up 25% of the land mass in Nebraska. And it's just a huge resource that we get the benefit of being close, that these calves are raised on the sand hills and then backgrounded there. And then they're not moved very far because all the other resources are here. And our customers are asking for that transparency. So we translate, you know, story beef and sustainability stories and kind of take that as a little bit of that shine off of there and say, but what does that really mean to that customer? And the customer wants to have confidence, confidence in us that we're handling that product correctly, both from the live side and food safety. And so we're going to be working more to tell that story, get more visibility on those things. And I think we'll go a long way addressing some of those questions.
Yeah, I'm sure it's quite a change for you because you've always talked to B2B people like myself, but people outside of us want to know about the product more. You know, people farther down the chain want to know too. I'm curious how Greater Omaha wants to play into that role as well too.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things that we're making a change to is if I looked at our sales force, and this is a unique perspective for us, because we're hearing those questions and they want to know why we're different and is there a role we can play. Our traditional sales used to be done on a desk, box beef sales, and move it from here to there. And many times those salespeople would never really see those customers. And we have that core business. We need to make sure that we can execute and deliver. So we have a great group that manages that volume of business. But over the last 3 to 4 years, we've hired a very experienced field sales team that is out in the field. They're never here in Omaha because they're out doing what you just mentioned, is addressing those questions at food service and retailers. We're basically selling on behalf of them and answering those questions. We're answering those broadline sales reps that have many things to carry, and they may not be an expert in beef, but if we can go with them, explain what the product is, what the application is, have them feel comfortable about it, and then touch those customers on their behalf, we're really seeing very positive impact, and we'll continue to support and grow that part of our selling efforts. It's the communication and transparency piece.
Last couple for the podcast, Mike. I always am curious when I'm able to talk to someone like yourself about highlighting some of the stuff in the company that doesn't get highlighted more often. Is there anything you want to share that man, that's something that we really would want to hear from, but we don't always get the chance to do that?
Well, I would say some of the things I'm really proud of is some of the things we've worked on with our employee base. We have over 35 countries represented in our little facility. And you know, that sounds great. There's complexity with that, but I'm really proud on how we've embraced that as an organization, and we're leveraging that diversity to make us better, right? And so we're more accepting of the different folks that come into the building, that do the work, come from a different perspective. And I know we're a better company for it. We get better ideas on how to solve things because we have different viewpoints. And you know, that's something that we don't talk a lot about externally, but something that is one of our core foundations of what makes us successful.
Last thing here, Mike, I wanted to touch a little bit about on your outlook for the rest of 23. You know, we've seen some quite a bit of volatility the last few years since 2020. So what are you kind of looking at for 23? We all know it's still challenging out there, but what are you kind of looking at?
Well, I think one of the things we keep wanting to say, the pandemic is over, and for all practical purposes, it's probably at a manageable state, but I think volatility is with us. And I think companies that are able to be successful and navigate through that just have to be flexible. So we think, what do we think? We think there'll be fewer cattle. We haven't seen a big decrease in demand. So our job is going to be, how do I maintain procuring higher priced raw ingredients, cattle, and making sure that I can efficiently process those so that I can manage the costs for my downstream customers. So that, you know, if you think about the outlook for us, we're going to be focusing on things that make sure that our throughput is as efficient as possible, because we do believe there's a point where demand starts to get impacted. It's a reality. Price per pound ultimately will catch up if we're not careful. And so we're very mindful of that. Some of the further fabrications that we're talking about doing with our investments will allow us to get at some more affordable cuts and make those a little bit more presentable to our customers that don't have the labor to get at them themselves. So whether that addresses all of the challenges that we have going forward, you know, I guess we're just kind of leaning in and being flexible on the things, and we're wired that way with a single plant facility, which we're going to need every bit of that going into the finishing up 23 and as we head into 24.
Make sure to check out the latest stories from the monthly print edition and online at meatpoultry.com. Make sure to follow us on social media on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, all by searching at Meat Poultry. And if you like what you heard, please leave a rating and review. It really helps us. All right, that's it for this time, folks. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.